IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
We wanted to find out about single mothers and single fathers in South Africa. Gabriel Krauss is a writer and an analyst at the Institute of Race Relations. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Very well, thanks.
So is it very simply that fathers are just buffoons and we don't take responsibility ourselves? Is that what your research shows?
There it is. You got it in one. No, unfortunately, the situation in South Africa is pretty dire. So international research shows that children that grow up in two-parent households, much better odds of getting ahead in life in the sort of standard cookie-cutter ways of measuring these things, career success, income, savings, upon retirement, and so on. And as someone who grew up with a single mother myself, I'm acutely aware of the fact that there are generalizations, and they generally matter, but of course that there are individual stories within that, and that lots of people who grew up, for example, with single moms are lucky. They had tenacious moms who somehow could make it work and they fight on. But from a social perspective, the stats do matter. And in South Africa, you know, one alarming statistic is that roughly 4 million children are growing up in households that are not two-parent households. And many of those are households, in fact, where the parent role is not being played by a parent, but is being played by an older sibling or a grandparent trying to step in. And the thing is, with all the best intentions in the world, people just, you know, don't necessarily have the energy or the perspicacity or the maturity, if there are different stages of life, that are necessary to give guidance, discipline, love, care, respect, and all the things that nurturing amounts to.
So the situation in South Africa, why is it so bad?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I think that no single answer is going to get one all the way. There's a traditional story that especially is told in America about how things changed when government stepped in to provide things like child grants, and you know, particularly in African American communities, when government stepped in to try and actually help out, there was this perverse backfire where divorce rates and single parent household rates, teenage pregnancy rates, all shoot up, so that you have lots more children growing up in single parent households. And so, you know, the one-liner is that the government sort of steps into the father's role and the father steps out. And it just turns out that things don't work nearly as well when you've got a government and a mother trying to bring up a child in general versus if you've got two parents. Does that story translate into South Africa? Many people argue that it does. Many people argue that the childhood grant scheme in South Africa, for example, is connected to the high rates of single-parent households that we have. I'm not convinced yet. Partly the controls aren't right. Partly I think that if you step back, you find the forced migrant labor system had a hugely deleterious effect, a huge disincentive for two-parent households. And part of the reason I draw attention to that is that it really is the case, as far as I can tell from research in Europe, that culture matters. That, you know, patterns of practice of multi-generational households that really glue the family together produce quite different outcomes to different models, even controlling for the size of government input and the relative incomes or size of the economies. So the thing is, if you break a culture of child rearing being a two-person job or a multi-person job, and you put in a really hard break like that, I think that's going to, it just would be no surprise if there were multi-generational effects. And that is part, I think, of what we're seeing here. So,
Although, isn't the assumption that you're making that it is always preferable to have both parents involved? There are many, many cases, I would imagine, where the grant or financial assistance to the mother is a lifesaver because she might have been staying in a relationship that is neither good for her nor the child. So it we'd probably need to understand those numbers better in order to understand what is better for the child, which is ultimately what this is about, right?
Absolutely. So in that regard, the key number to look at is unemployment, is youth unemployment.
Mm, mm.
If you have a father who's staying at home, who feels disgraced, who's unable to plug into society in a way that he can wake up in the morning and add value and get remunerated for it, the odds are very high that
it's not going to be good for that child.
No, mm. it's not going to be great. And South Africa's youth unemployment rate is sitting well above 50%, and it's also significantly higher amongst men than amongst women, young men than amongst young women.
Mm.
So, you know, the crisis of South African young men between the ages of 18 and 35, roughly, are many-fold. You know, there are many knock-on effects, and some of them are sure to pass down the generations. And in those kind of situations, an imperfect solution, like a mom who's falling back on the support of her grandparent of her parents, who's falling back on the support of the state, I think, you know, absolutely, we very solidly, we at the Institute of Race Relations very solidly endorse our grant system.
Mm.
It's needs-based, unlike so many other parts of how the government work. It's really targeting people who need it the most. They really do need it. And we as a society, I think, need to keep paying heed to that.
Absolutely right. It is 8:56. It's a fascinating conversation. Gabriel Krauss, writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relations, talking to us about why single mothers exist in a much higher numbers than single fathers. Gabriel, thank you as always for chatting to us.